Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's get back to the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Hey, people forget that the spring game is on Saturday. I don't know if you've heard this or not.
Wow.
I don't know if your ads on Twitter have told you to get a ticket to the game yet. You can go either way with that. But what you have no option on is to join us at Oscars on Thursday for the spring game roundtable. You have to be there. And you don't even have to buy a ticket to do so.
Wow.
And they'll give you pizza and chicken wings if you pay them money, of course.
Yes.
Please join us. Let's have lunch together.
Attendance is mandatory.
Let's break bread. Join us and at Sports Black Conduct from 10 to 6 on Thursday at Oscars, 173rd and Center. And then Gary Nick will join us at noon for a good old-fashioned roundtable. Where are things at right now? And have a sip of Kool-Aid with us on Thursday at Oscars. Matt Rhule, talking about third down defense. We asked Sam McEwen about it yesterday because he wrote about it in the Omaha World Herald. And I have now spreadsheeted about it. That's right. All it takes is one little thing. Get my mind going. Turns into a spreadsheet. Here's Matt Rhule on Saturday about how or what Nebraska needs to do to improve their mark on third down defense, which was, by the way, one of the best marks that Nebraska's defense has had in almost a decade. They're just under 37% last year was the best mark a Nebraska defense has put up since 2000 and about 16 when they were at over 37%. So, actually, I guess 2015, to make it clear from that. Since then, it's been pretty bad. Tony White made a lot of headway in his first year. What happens in year number two? Here's Matt Rhule.
Yeah, so third down defense, to me, if everything's pressure, you're never going to be great. You have to have the ability to rush with four, and you have to have the ability to third and 3 to 6, you have to be able to play man. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to line up and play man. And you can't have a guy that like, hey, like, you know, Wisconsin puts Spalding, you know, number three, or I think it's his name, and he, you know, kept winning on option
rush.
You have
Pauling
to have the ability to play man versus all the bunches and stacks. And then when he gets to longer yardage, have the ability to rush four and get home. And one of the things in the Big Ten, at least last year, you know, you had Tanner Mordecai, you had all these guys who could get out of the pocket and run, so you have to defend that too. So it's getting great rushers who are also disciplined enough to keep guys in the pocket, the ability to play man, and then still have the pressure package. Like, Tony's always going to create chaos. But on third and seven, third and eight, and if you look back to last year, like halfway through the year, Sam, we weren't doing great, and then we got ourselves down even lower. We have to make like an 8% jump. I think we're like at 38 in that range. We've got to get down into like the 20s, like the high 20s to be a dominant defense. I'm more of the, you know, like, I just want to be great on third and like 7+. That's the ones that kill you to me. Like, because then people think they can do it. Like, third and 7+ against us, I want to have such an elite pass rush that people just say, you know what, check the ball down, run the ball, like, don't get a sack fumble. That's the evolution. And then the final thing is just getting people in third down more. Like, we look a lot at the number. I'll also point out to our guys, like, great defenses, they're in third down 20 sometimes a game. You know, great offense, great bad offense defenses, they're in it, you know, 10 times a game. So you got to get people to third down. On offense, like, it's not just a percentage. It's, you know, sometimes on offense people will say, like, you know, we're 50%. Yeah, but you were 11 for 22. You can't be in 22 third downs and win college football. You got to be 4 for 8. So, the numbers are good, but defensively, I think, you know, those three things are areas that we're really working on. You need a four-man rush. I don't know. I'm going to watch today. Like, really important. It's been really good up until today. I'm going to have to go back and watch, you know, and see how it was today. But we have the guys who can do it. You know, we have guys who can rush, you know, the Jamaris, the MJs. Like Chief Borders is probably the most improved player on our team, I'd say, through camp. I mean, Chief has like, you know what? I can play. And he's a problem out there. So I think, you know, we have the guys to do it. It's just constantly getting great at it.
All right, so conversion rate and then attempts per game. Those are the two numbers that Matt Rhule highlighted in that clip there. Also sack. I mean, we've talked a little bit about sacks over the last couple days and where Nebraska's been on that. I'll reiterate those numbers here. So Nebraska as a team had 32 sacks last year, and that was their highest as a program going all the way back to 2013 when they, and this is how long I've tracked it. It was also they're tied for third highest team sack total in Matt Rhule's head coaching career. All right, so his fourth year at Temple when they won 10 games, they had 40 sacks. His third year at Baylor when they went to the Big 12 championship game in the Sugar Bowl, they had 46 sacks, and they won 11 games that year. They had a guy, James Husker Lynch, by the way, who had 13.5 sacks that year. That's right, his middle name was Husker. Yeah, I think his middle name, because Nebraska tried, like, was going to recruit him and then they didn't or something like that. Yeah, his middle name is Husker. So that's pretty funny. So you look at what Nebraska's done recently, and then you look at what Matt Rhule has done in his career. And that's why I've charted the third down numbers as well. So conversion rate and then attempts per game. Just for reference, in 2019 at Baylor, that was Matt Rhule's best team at Baylor, the 11-win Sugar Bowl team. They allowed 39% of third downs to be converted. But they had by far the highest amount of third down attempts against them, 233 that year. Now, that was over 14 games, but their attempts per game was higher than it's been in any other year of his head coaching life in the college game. Over 16.5 attempts, third down attempts per game. That number is really good. I would assume that number would be one of the top 10 or so in the country. Because like you said, if you get them to third down, that's half the battle. And then if you're winning it, if you're winning it 60% of the time, which that's the 40% conversion rate for the other team, if you're winning it 60% of the time, then you got a pretty good chance. Like your defense is pretty good, and then they get into another third. Like you're ideally, as a team drives the ball down the field, if they don't convert the first third down, then or if they do convert the first third down, then they don't convert the second third down, and then you go on from there. Hopefully the drives don't get too prolonged that way. But they faced a lot of them that year. So to put that in context to what Matt Rhule's defense and what it did last year, and Tony White's defense and what it did last year, is actually very good historically for Matt Rhule's career. They allowed 15, just a little over 15 attempts, third down attempts per game, and opponents only converted about 36.5% of those attempts over 12 games. 66 for 181 last year, getting off the field on third down. Let's reference the bottom end. Nebraska's high watermark, and here's what we're dealing with. As far as the margins are concerned. So just out of curiosity, Josh, what do you think has been the worst Nebraska defense in the last 10 years? Just pick a year. Pick a defensive coordinator.
2021.
No, because that team was okay.
That's right.
And they only won three games, but they were okay. How about, can I interest you in Bob Diaco's 2017? Yeah,
mm-hmm. That would have been my next.
No reasonable reason defense. So they allowed 43% of conversions on fourth down. Rhule said, or third down, rather. Rhule said, really good teams are going to be in the high 20s. Right? But more staggeringly, they only allowed 12, they only got to 12 third downs per game. They only got to 144 third downs in total that year. There was a game, because in order to do this, I had to pull out all the individual games. I mean, Ohio State that year, I think, went like 11 for 15 on third down or something. I mean, it was just something completely staggering, you know. And some of these teams that have just thrashed Nebraska over the years, you know. In a lot of, like, I think it was the 62-3 game in 2016 that was just horrible. I mean, barely got to any third downs, and then they converted all of them when they did. It was kind of the same thing with Michigan last year when Nebraska played Michigan. So, is there reason to think that the number could go up? If that's the case, Nebraska's defense is going to be in really good shape. Basically, what I'm telling you is, if you look at Rule's defenses historically, and keep in mind this is a different league with different types of players and the pace is different, right, than he was playing in at in the AAC or in the Big 12. So all that's kind of noted in this conversation. But if they continue to trend upwards, as they did in between year one and year two at Temple, but they did not in year one to year two at Baylor, but they made a big jump from year two to year three at Baylor. Nebraska's, and they get the sack guys, whether it comes from a little bit more of a committee, which I think is probably a little bit more likely in this case, simply because I can't pinpoint a guy who I'd say, yeah, mark that guy down for 8 sacks this year. Nebraska hasn't had a guy who's got 8 sacks individually in a year since Khalil Davis in 2019, as I've mentioned a couple times over the last day or two. And they haven't had a guy get 9 sacks in an individual year since 2013, Rainey Gregory. But if it continues to trend up, and who knows? Like that's a conversation worth exploring in and of itself. Will it trend up? Does Nebraska have the requisite sack getters? Do they have the pass rushers to get there? And here's one that I haven't heard as much of in our current Kool-Aid hype temperature climate. All right. How will Big Ten offenses adjust to seeing Tony White's defense on tape for a year? Sam mentioned it kind of offhand yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, my theory going into last year, if you'll remember, was that Nebraska's defense would actually get mildly worse as we kind of went throughout the year, just because teams would start to figure out, okay, here's what we have to do. Here's where their weakness is. They're causing so much chaos, but here's how we could beat them. And that actually did end up happening a little bit. So what will that mean for year two Tony White defense? I'm sure that there's something, and there's some things that they could do to mitigate that. Hopefully you have a little bit more, you know, do a few more dudes, like individual type of play. But also you're just more complete as a defense in general. That's kind of the theory anyway. So whether it goes up or whether it goes down, I mean, it's a relatively decent number from last year. Nebraska's only been sub 30% one time in the last 10 years. Matt Rhule in his defenses in college football has never been sub 30%. Never had a sub 30% conversion rate defense. Now, once again, you transition that over to the Big Ten. What's the quarterback play like? What are the offenses like? Are they going to be more okay with punting? You know, things of that nature. That all factors into the conversation. But I do think Nebraska could be hovering around that number this year. And if they are, they get the sacks to go with it, and they cut out the turnovers, you're starting to see that formula develop. That's an 8, 9, 10 win team right there. So I have all this charted from, maybe I could tweet it out or something like that, but last year, teams on average per game, 5.5 conversions on just a little over 15 attempts, 15.1 attempts last year, which you can absolutely live with. It's about 36% for the entire year. So we'll see how it looks. But I don't know. I have pretty high hopes for the defense, but I guess the problem is I don't know how high it can get considering their lack of individual playmakers. That would be the question for me. Like, can somebody, and it doesn't have to be exclusively in the sack category, but is somebody going to turn into a wrecker? Who's the wrecker of this team? Maybe that's my question to you guys at 402-951-1620. Like, if you had to pick a guy on this defense who could just get in there and just start wrecking stuff, whether it's rushing the passer or blowing it up in the middle, who is that guy? Is it Nash Upmaker? You know, maybe he doesn't have, maybe he's not a 7-sack guy. Maybe he's not an 8-sack guy. That's okay. He doesn't have to be, but he frees some space up for a guy like James Williams or Jamari Butler or Chief Borders, who we've now heard a lot about over the last week or so. Is he the front runner to be that this year? Can it be in a linebacker spot? Can it be in a defensive backfield spot? Like, just if Tommy Hill is like a shutdown corner, which I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's possible, but if Tommy Hill's a shutdown corner, you just say, all right, you got that side of the field, we'll worry about all the other stuff. Everything, you know, the higher you go up and play individually just maximizes what you could do statistically on the defensive side of the ball. So it was a top 10-ish, you know, type of defense last year, and there's still room to grow. There's a reason why they're talking about it that way. So I'm curious, and those are some of the stats that go behind it. I do also want to talk about the running backs today as well. We will do that on the show.
Yeah, who's toting the rock?
I don't know if we know the answer to that, Josh. It's a complicated question. We can get to that during the show today, probably in the noon hour. We'll come back with more next on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.